Now, NDE Radio, a weekly exploration of near-death experiences and similar encounters with the other side. Now, here's your host, Lee Whitting.
Welcome to NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, whether you're listening on TalkZone, by podcast, through the archives of our ad-free shows on our YouTube channel, or by connecting through our Facebook page. Our guest in this encore presentation is Nancy Clark, PhD. Nancy has been a psychotherapist, international lecturer, medical intuitive, and author, including her book, The Energy Healer's Guide, an integrative medicine program for self-development and teaching. What helped develop her into her life's career of healing were her spirit guides, who graciously stayed with her following a childhood NDE when she was struck by lightning. Even before her NDE, Nancy says, "My closest friends were invisible to others, but very visible to me." Her continuing contact with the other side provides us with a window into that existence. And here to tell us about her NDE at age 6 and the ongoing communications she's received about the other side is Dr. Nancy Clark.
Nancy, I thought we might begin if you could tell us about your childhood NDE and the abilities you discovered that you had when you were a child.
Okay, well, let me begin by saying something that maybe other people haven't thought about. When a baby is born, they have to learn the skills of operating in a third dimension, which means they have to learn to see, hear. They learn to hear in utero. So that they are born with that skill pretty well developed. But things like, well, they're touching, they're walking, their third dimensional skills, speaking, all of those have to be developed. And by the time a child is 6 or 7 years old, that is pretty much a part of their selves, their developed selves, and they begin to forget the spirit that they were and their communications with spirit. But what happened to me at age 6 was I was struck by lightning, and at that point, I really was able to maintain my connection with spirit, and it was something that served me very well all of my school days, as you might imagine, because I had a little insight onto, well, even what my teachers expected of me. So I found life that way was quite fascinating.
Do you remember the experience, what happened to you when you were struck by lightning?
Oh, yes. It was summertime. We had just moved into a new house that had windows in the living room that were only about a foot off the floor. It was a lovely summer day. It was raining and warm, and so the window was open. I had received an iron for doll clothes at Christmas time or my birthday, and I was ironing a dress that for my doll that was soaking wet, and all of a sudden I saw this ball of lightning. And what I have to say is, seconds before any experience like this, whether it leads to death or near death, the soul is out of the body. So I was looking from above as I saw this bolt of lightning heading right through that open window into my chest. Wow. And it threw me quite a distance. It threw the iron and blew out all the circuits in that side of the house, by the way. And so my father was very unhappy when he came home. It didn't realize how serious it had been with me, but my mother found me, you know, on the floor and didn't know how long I had been there. But the iron had burned a huge scorch mark in the new wood floor.
Oh, dear.
So it was perhaps watching that bolt of lightning going through the house and then going into an electrical outlet that was quite fascinating to me as I was out of the body. But then I was rejoined with my spirit guides that were going to be with me the rest of my life. And what I found interesting from that point on is some of them seemed to be the same age as I was. So they matured with me. They appeared to. While
interesting.
Others were in their adult form at all times.
Did you have to travel anywhere to meet them, or were they right there waiting for your spirit?
To me, they are always right here with me. So
okay.
I don't have to travel anywhere.
So they were up by the ceiling?
No. No, I think that that is kind of a myth. We say that babies in the crib, they always look up. So they always have a feeling that spirits are above them. Because
yes,
that is their visual vantage point. But as you learn to see spirits, they're not up there. They're as close to you as any person would be who is talking to you. So that's a different perspective that most people, we kind of believe what everyone tells us.
Mm.
So like some people say, you know, heaven is right here. It's not up there or way out there. It's what
right. It's like Jesus said, it's within us, and it's among us and within us as well.
Absolutely.
So, Nancy, was it from that point on that you were able to communicate with spirits, or was it just that you were able to continue communicating, something that you'd had from early childhood?
That's a much better explanation. I simply continued, and they are as much a part of me today as they were before. I am in communication with spirit many, many times a day. If I want to ask a question, or if I want guidance on something, or, you know, just checking in.
Now, do you differentiate between people who have passed over, their spirits,
yes,
and spirits that are your guides, as it were?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, just the other day, I was walking through the house, and I heard, Nancy, and this long, drawn-out last syllable of my name. And my immediate thought was, I'd recognize that voice anywhere. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that is my friend from high school and college who had just made her transition about a month before. Mm. And so I said, Margo, you're here. And she said, yes, I am. And so we began that conversation. But, yes, there's a totally different vibration that you recognize that is the vibrational essence of the person when they were physical.
And what, speaking more generally, what have they told you, or what have you learned about life on the other side?
Well, there are several stages that we go through once we pass to the other side. And generally speaking, initially, a person wants to make the rounds and be sure they say goodbye to everyone. And depending upon the need of the person left behind, that determines how long they will be hanging around immediately. But there comes a time when they have to go into what I call R&R. They have to rejuvenate their body back to perfection. And the longer someone has had an illness, the longer it takes for them to realize that they can have a perfect body. They no longer have a limp or a scoliosis of the spine or whatever it is. They learn that they can be perfected. And this is why when we see our loved ones in spirit, they always look much younger, unless they are afraid you won't recognize them. And so they put on the appearance that you would remember.
So it's not an instantaneous thing. When you cross over and your spirit is out of your body, you might still manifest a limp or scoliosis?
It's very interesting that I had a friend with a withered hand from polio. Her arm and hand were quite withered. And so she had had it since she was a tiny girl, and she still didn't use that hand. And so it took a long, long time for her to be able to see it functioning normally. Although it looked fine, she still protected it as though it were a problem.
So it's more a psychosomatic thing rather than an actual physical thing.
It's the memory of the... Now,
some people have theorized that when we have an injury like that, that it reflects some event that happened in a past life that was reappearing or was the result of some experience in a past life. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, I seldom find it, but I do find it at times, and it can even be generational, which makes it that much more difficult. Mm. But there are patterns within groups. For example, I would say, you know, the gypsies feel that they have been maligned and without a country for so long. And so when someone has been born and reborn into a gypsy situation, they tend to continue thinking that pattern of thought, if that makes sense to you.
Mm. Yes. And so if they reincarnate along with their family members from a past life,
yes,
they would probably be continuing those same traditions,
yes,
in some,
yes,
way or another.
Exactly, exactly. And yet there are people who, and this goes into the next phase of what we go through on the other side, those people who are really working on their spiritual path and trying to move toward enlightenment, they spend time doing, first of all, what they love to do, but also trying to evolve their souls so that when they come into another lifetime, wherever that may be, they will actually be more prepared for situations that were really difficult for them in past lives.
Mm. Now, when you say they continue to do what they enjoy doing, for instance, if someone in their lifetime enjoyed walking in the woods or going to the seashore, do they come back to Earth to do that, or do they manifest this in their imaginations? Or how does that work?
It's not their imagination, because when you are in this higher dimension, you are fully capable of creating any surrounding you want. And so I was watching an actual film, and it's too long a story to get into, but a man who had been a scientist in Switzerland, and he loved the mountains and he loved the seashore, so he had created mountains and his chalet that was right on the edge of this beautiful sea. So he had the best of all worlds.
Did he create it in such a way that others could enjoy it, or was this simply something that was personal to him?
It can be both. Others can enjoy it, or he could enjoy it in his solitude.
But so this would imply that not only God is a creator, but that we can manifest to a certain degree creation from the other side as well.
We can do it right here. It's just that we've forgotten.
You
know, everybody has to do is look at what's happening in their lives and realize that they are creating it right here and right now. It's a hard thing to imagine, and it's not on a conscious level often. It can be at a soul level or a subconscious level, but they are creating.
Wow. Now, sometimes people talk about souls being stuck in this earth plane. Do you think that that they're actually trapped, or are they just spending more time than normal before they leave to go on?
That's a great question. They are, I would say, trapped, but it's because of their own thoughts. They haven't realized, like perhaps a young person who has died very suddenly. I was stopped in traffic, although the accident was on the other side of a meridian. There was a car stopped, and there was a young man standing there looking very puzzled because his motorcycle was way underneath this SUV. And then I realized it was the spirit of this young man, because he had already probably died when he went into this bad accident, and he was standing outside. So what happens is some spirits don't realize that they are only in spirit form, so they try to carry on as though they are still living here. And often we hear of a malevolent spirit. Well, most of the time they're not. They're just either trying to get attention or they're frustrated.
Now, in your work, do you facilitate communication between people and their lost loved ones?
Very often. If it comes up, then we can deal with that. And when that happens, usually the person is in the room, the spirit. A woman, when I first started doing this work, she came in very unusually dressed in this gorgeous Kelly Green Chanel style suit. And, you know, she was just way overdressed for an appointment. And she sat down, and about that time I looked up, and here the spirit walked in wearing the same suit. The only difference was the spirit was wearing a matching hat. And I said, "Is there a hat that goes to your outfit?" And she looked at me really surprised, and she said, "Well, yes, how did you know?" And I said, "Because your mother just walked in wearing the same thing. This was her suit, wasn't it?" And she said, "Yes, that's why I'm here." So it was a very interesting session.
When a soul travels into the light, are they still available to you and to this earth plane?
Yes. If they are not in this rest period, when they go through that rejuvenation period, they are really out of touch. And it depends how much work their physical body needed to be repaired, how long that will be. You know, sometimes it's up to 3 months. that they are away. I just lost my brother-in-law, and he will be in that period for at least 3 months.
Now, when we think of time, for instance, 3 months, is it 3 months for us, but not a defined period for them? I mean, are they experiencing time over there?
For us, it seems like 3 months, but since there is no time on the other side, it may seem like a day you lose track of time when there isn't a sunrise and a sunset and seasons, unless you desire seasons, and then you create those.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were telling me the process that a soul goes through. What happens after the R&R?
Then they, as I mentioned, they start working with their soul's purpose to go forward. For example, I have a friend who died several months ago who was a well-known artist, and she was also a nun. So it was a very interesting idea to see the world not in a Catholic perspective. But as an artist, she was telling me one day how amazing it is that you don't sit down with a canvas and paint a landscape as you would do here. You go out into nature and you create the mountains and the trees and the flowers that you want in your landscape. It's quite a bigger perspective, isn't it?
Yes, instead of a representation, it's the real thing.
Is the real thing. So this,
wow,
this is what makes the learning during that stage so valuable, because you are able to experience your version of reality on a whole different scale. You are able to experience creation.
Do they participate in what goes on Earth? Do they try to direct or at least help maybe their family or even political situations, you know, where there's war or where there's poverty? Do the souls from the other side try to involve themselves in fixing those things?
You know, I have never met anyone who was working on a big political agenda. They tend to be working at the, I would say, the basic levels. Now, a part of your question, we have like a grandmother in spirit or a parent in spirit who stays with that child until they are grown because they have made an obligation to do that. But there are other spirits that I know that really work with these new special children that are coming on Earth, trying to help them remember the gifts that they have and how to stay in touch with one another to communicate more telepathically. And it's very interesting that the kids today sit and text one another, and two children can be sitting side by side, and rather than speaking, they are texting. Well, this seems like a terrible thing for a different generation. However, we are moving toward a higher level of communication where we will, as humans, be communicating telepathically with one another. And so the children are learning to do that through this texting.
Do you think the increased incidence of autism is involved in that in any way?
These children can function on a different level. they just cannot learn in our traditional way. So as the frequency of Earth gets higher, they will be able to better communicate with themselves and the world as it is.
My thanks to Nancy Clark for sharing with us her six-year-old near-death experience and the ongoing communication she was gifted with. And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to hear this show again or any of our more than 500 archived, ad-free NDE interviews, go to TalkZone's NDE radio site and hit the Past Shows button, or go to our YouTube channel, NDE Radio with Lee Whitting, where you can subscribe to and comment on the complete NDE radio library. And listen next Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern, at TalkZone for more NDE radio. I'm your host, Lee Whitting, saying once again, thanks for listening.